Sit back, relax, and raise a glass, for spirits coming from the past. Sip on salt while your skin crawls with your pre-haunting wolf having a ball. Spirits in your favorite pools. Gather the others, no hesitating. The moment's approaching, it's now time to sing. Haunts and hearts, haunts and hearts, crackle and hand and fill to the top. Haunts and hearts, haunts and hearts, this is your podcast and it's called Haunts and Hearts.
No matter where you're joining us from, welcome back to our realm. I was breathing too heavy there. That was almost ASMR. This is Haunts and Hops. We're the podcast that cover all things paranormal while delightfully devouring the most amazing craft beer from all over the U.S. of A. Thanks to our incredible sponsor, Tavor. Follow us on all social media at Haunts and Hops. Johnny LaQuasta here with you. We are fresh off our WonderCon episode. We're going to get into that in just a second, but let me introduce the stars of the show. She's a veteran paranormal investigator, former team member of Ghost Hunters on A&E, a wealth of knowledge. She is no longer a specter because we can actually see her on a camera. Find her at Ashley Trobe on the socials. She's the amazing Ashley Trobe.
You would think that working with like the paranormal and technology that I'd be able to have a computer that works, but no.
Well, you like to blow shit up, and you blew up your computer at one point.
That's what I do.
She blows up computers, situations, Twitter conversation, everything. She knows how to blow things up.
Yeah. I'm very dramatic. I like to troll people and my computer and my life and everything.
You troll your own computer. I love that.
I troll
she walks everything. In and just talk shit. Hey, what up, computer?
I go up to my boss and I'm just like, you were fucking wrong about this. And he's like, oh yeah, I was. It's one of the best things about my boss is I talk shit to him and he will happily talk shit back. I also call him dad. Oh. I just want everybody to know that, and he will absolutely not correct me about it. So
that's a good working relationship, sure. I think. And she is certified in paranormal investigation and cryptozoology, lifelong connection to the paranormal. Her one-woman show, 50 Shades of Mix, will be hitting the globe once again very soon. Follow her at Anastasia Washington or Anastasia W. She's Anastasia Washington.
Hey, hello. Thank you for having me.
You're here every week.
Oh, good to know.
So WonderCon, we did it.
We did that. Hey. We were like, boom, WonderCon.
How cool is that? Like we not only had amazing guests, you know, we had Z, we had Brandon Alves, we had Mustafa Gadalari, but I'm so proud of that episode. I feel like in 1 hour, we got so much done, especially for people who maybe I've never heard the show before, or maybe don't even pay attention to the paranormal.
Yeah. I feel like I was looking at the, cause I was like, oh, like, let me see how many views we have on this episode. And you know, the Comic-Con page in general on YouTube. And like, we're averaging with some pretty big deals. I'm just going to throw it
really?
Out.
Really? Okay.
I was looking at it for a little bit today and was like, hey. Okay, let's see, like, how are we doing compared to other people, you know, and not like as a competition, but just like, did we do what our goal was?
Yeah.
And I think we did. I think that people are interested to hear what we have to say, which was really exciting to see. Yeah. 'Cause at first I saw it and I was like, oh, 300 and some views, that's nothing. But then I started looking at all of them and I was like, oh, that's actually kind of an average. Like, we did good, you guys. Like, we killed it.
And you can still watch it. So like, yes. That's the other thing. You can watch, you can like it, you can comment, that always helps. You can share it, that would be great. So if you go to WonderCon at Home's YouTube page, we're there under cryptids. Probably Google cryptids, that'll come up easier. WonderCon and cryptids will come up pretty fast.
The best part is it's an evergreen episode. We're never going to be done promoting it because everything we talk about in that episode, it's not time sensitive. It's timeless, if you will. And so I'm just so proud of that episode. And considering we just started this podcast the middle of 2020 during a pandemic to be a part of WonderCon, that's kind of amazing.
Yeah.
You want to know a good transition? While we're talking about amazing, should we bring in our special guest?
Yeah, who's also amazing.
All right. Well, who wants to do the introduction, ladies? Feel free.
Anastasia, I think that's you.
Oh, sure. Well, we have the amazing Kelsey, which you can follow her at Van Kelsing. She is an actress. She's a voiceover actress. Mm-hmm. She is a model, mm-hmm. costumer, and cosplayer extraordinaire. And our friend and haunted living
person. Cohort.
Yeah. she lives with a ghost.
Oh.
Yeah. So amazing. Hello. Welcome, Kelsey.
Hi. Thank you. Meme lord of life. And also, I'm in Ashley's phone as daddy, which is the most important part of all of this.
How did you know I was going to say that?
Wait. I know. I didn't know I took it.
You're her boss?
I'm other daddy.
Oh.
She's in my phone as Daddy Walmer, which sometimes I'll forget and I go to text or something and I'm like, Kelsey,
yeah.
Kelsey.
Well, yeah. I love the fact that your name is Kelsey Walmer, but you might have the greatest Instagram handle, Van Kelsing. Like, I just want to say that over Van Kelsing.
Thank you. My friend in high school texted me like out of the blue one day, just goes Van Kelsing. And it has stuck with me for going on a decade. I will never change it. I was like, this is the greatest gift anyone could ever give me. I will never have a better nickname than this.
Absolutely not. It is
fantastic. I mean, we're going to talk about greatest gifts. I'm right here. But that's
I mean, right. That's also true. That's also true.
It's the gift that keeps giving.
Well, you know, is always giving to us is our sponsor, Tavor. We love them so much. First off, before we talk about our beers, it's real simple. Download Tavor and you can get the greatest craft beer from across the country delivered right to your door. Use the code HAUNTS10, that's HAUNTS10. Boom, you will get $10 off your first order of delicious craft beer that will get sent right to your door. And yo, their selection is out of this world. Case in point, the four beers we're going to talk about tonight. Anastasia, you're showing your beer off. Feel free. Please enlighten us.
I am drinking a future you hates you. What? Russian Imperial Stout.
Is that me?
Future you hates you.
Wow, the can almost looks like Lil Nas X's new Satan shoes.
Kind of. I think it is it's some kind of demon holding something.
Well.
Oh, it's somebody's head. Okay, so a demon crushing somebody's soul or head. Yeah, it's from Android Theory Kushwa Brewing. It is, let's see how much, 13.5% alcohol by volume, you guys.
Woo!
Good night, Pig.
It's from the DC area, and I'm gonna try it.
Yeah, finish it quick and let's see what happens. Man.
It tastes like Russian Imperial Stout.
Well, Van Kelsing, we know you're sipping on something, so please feel free to let
gin
us know.
Gin and juice. Oh,
I have. I had no idea what this was. I'm home at my parents' house right now, and my dad likes to buy very random things when he goes to the store. So this is Samuel Smith's Organic Chocolate Stout. So it's a dessert beer, which is fun, and I think I kind of wish I had a scoop of ice cream and kind of like beer float it right now. I think this would be really awesome for that.
But, you know the way to my heart, because I always talk about putting things over ice cream.
I love beer floats. I love it. It's an underrated dessert. I don't know why people don't do it more.
That's a fair point. Now, Ashley, you always have something fun, generally an IPA, but what do you have tonight?
Well, so Tavor watches our shows. And they got real tired of my white girl bullshit. And they were like, no more IPAs for you. And so they sent me, and I'm very excited, a White Elm Imperial Stout.
Nice.
Yum. It's very delicious. It's from Nebraska. It's called Casual Fridays. And y'all.
Yeah.
It's so good. It is.
It's powerful.
It's 12.5%. And we all love White Elm. Like, we've had it on the show quite a few times at this point. Tavor knows what they're doing, and apparently they're really over me doing IPAs, so here we go.
Now, can we see that can again? Because I don't think I've seen that version of White Elm. I've had their stouts. I've had their dessert beers. That is, that's one I have not had.
Casual Friday.
Okay.
Very pretty.
Yeah, it's really cool. On the back, it actually says, for Casual Friday, it says, thanks to the efforts of the Aloha shirt-clad Hawaiian workers in the summer of 66, Aloha Fridays were born and adopted as casual Fridays in the lower 48. Celebrate the work week, becoming 20% more comfortable with this Imperial Stout made with cacao nibs, cocoa. Mm. Oh, I'm sorry. Cacao nibs, coconut, and vanilla. Here's to Fridays.
Fridays.
Here's Fridays. To Mondays.
Yeah. Yes. Casual Mondays, too.
Bye, Felicia. Just kidding. That's a different kind of Friday.
Hi, Miss Parker. Anyway.
Thank you.
I had to follow up with that. Yeah, this is a first for Haunts and Hops for me. So I did get an amazing order from Tavor. Like I said, my favorite order of all time at first glance looking at it. But, you know, there's always one beer that's going to surprise you a little bit. Well, this is going to be my first sour.
Yes!
Yes!
Oh, yeah. Snap! They sent me the same one.
This is from Shades Brewing.
Ooh.
Right, it's called the Thai Tom Kha American Style Sour Ale. Ale brewed with coconut, lemongrass, galangal, kefir leaf, and lactose.
Have you had Tom Kha? Like Tom Kha is the world.
That sounds good.
I've never heard of Tom Kha. As a matter of fact,
Tom Kha is a Thai soup. It is the best in the world. Period.
No, okay. Tom Kha Kai is the best soup in the world.
Okay, well, Anastasia, I thought we were friends, but that's
we're gonna fight. But we're also coming back together. Oh my god, we made up.
Anastasia, no, Liquasto.
Oh, that is it's kicking. Wow.
I feel like that might be sour.
Yeah, it won a gold in 2019, I'm assuming for the face I just made. But yeah, it's from Shades Brewing in Salt Lake City. They're making this is a damn, I don't like sours, but I will say this isn't, it's strong, but it's palatable for me. I'm
salt
gonna
make acete.
I'm gonna handle it. I'm gonna handle it.
Buddy, I believe in you.
Thank you very much. Before we
try new things,
that's right. Before we get into Supernatural Scoop, if you're listening and you have a paranormal experience or story you want to hook us up with, call us 818-660-6191. That's 818-660-6191. Leave us a voicemail and we will play it on the show. But with that said, it's time for the Supernatural Scoop. All right, it's time to talk about 1941.
Sex, baby. Let's talk about you.
You and me.
Let's talk about all the good things.
Yeah. 1941, remember it? All right, so.
Yes, like it was yesterday.
Definitely there. Definitely.
So, Kels, what are your thoughts? We all know ours about UFOs and stuff like that, but what are your overall global thoughts about you know, aliens, UFOs, the existence of? Are they already here?
Well, speaking as someone who just started watching X-Files for the first time during quarantine and has just been smashing through as many episodes as possible, I would like to begin by saying that show has aged phenomenally well.
Yes, all of that has.
All of the pseudoscience from that has held up fairly well with what we expected to have happen. So that has blown my mind repeatedly. I also hailing from Arizona, and of course, us having numerous strange UFO things going on that are known, I feel like, generally within the UFO community. I would like to say that there are lots of weird things we don't understand. I want to believe.
Well, I don't know about you guys. I never heard of the Cape Girardeau 1941 incident. We all know Roswell was 1947. So when I saw this article on anomalien.com, it kind of blew my mind because the story came from a reverend. I mean, I got to believe a reverend when he's talking about possible aliens. So yeah. Or not. I don't know. It was a deathbed confession. Generally, on your deathbed, you're not going to make shit up.
This is my confession.
But what a power move. No one can ask you if you lied about that. It's done.
Yeah. Unless, of course, you're confused. I have had many demented patients over the years who say some shit. A guy this week said he was afraid of trout. So, look, not everything makes sense when you're old. But this story from Cape Girardeau, Missouri, it was Reverend William Huffin. He was essentially summoned to pray over crash victims of a unidentified object that crashed to the ground. And in his deathbed confession, that eventually was explained by his great granddaughter, I believe, something to that extent. He said it was a saucer, metallic in color, broken in one portion. When he arrived, the police, fire department, FBI were already there, and he observed the command module, and there was hieroglyphic writing on the inside of the craft, I guess, if you will. He said there were three victims that he had to give the, I guess, last rites to or prayers for. Mm-hmm. He said they were about 4 feet tall with no bone structure, soft looking, had large eyes, hardly a mouth or ears. They were hairless. They had very long hands and fingers. And he said he even remembered at one point a couple of the officers holding up one of the bodies for like a photo. And before leaving, he said he was told it was a matter of security, national security, and was told to keep everything a secret. And he did until his deathbed.
It sounded like me until you said hairless.
I was going to make that joke. I was like, this is 2/3 of that is me before I put my face on in the morning. Oh my God.
Feeling it.
No mouth, no ears.
On the same way of like, listen, I'm like Mr. Potato Head. It's all attachable and not.
And everything is stored in your butt.
Exactly.
As Potato Head now, there is no Mr. attached to it anymore. Thanks.
Yeah. Let's get with 2021 here. But no, this was amazing to me because you know, obviously Roswell is the world famous story. In Cape Girardeau, yeah. I know this is well known, but holy shit, this is incredibly fascinating to me.
Yeah.
The hieroglyphics, I want to see them. I want to see what they look like. I want him to have drawn them in a journal, and I want to find that journal.
I'm shocked that it's not in the article because I thought that we'd get to see some of this, like kind of see what the idea was. And we got a drawing that I probably could have done off of, you know, thinking of X-Files.
Yeah. That is
well, I'm true. Always thinking about X-Files. So.
And that's all I'm ever thinking of now. It's great. I was listening to another thing talking about UFO sightings. It's so interesting to me because apparently, I am not remembering some of this information correctly, but the official marching orders by the time we got to the 60s, 70s, 80s was supposedly from the US government was only take technology, only take ships, do not take the bodies. So that's so interesting. The 40s is when they would have had, yeah, we're taking all the corpses, we're taking anything we can find. But by then it was we don't want the bodies, whatever I guess the assumption is either transportation is hard or we have nowhere to store them, but it's that's really interesting.
We have enough bodies.
Yeah. Again, and watching X-Files, again, that aged phenomenally well as a fact.
Well, that's also, it begs the question, you know, Roswell, then it leads to Area 51. And but if Cape Girardeau, if this incident really happened in 1941, well, then where did that craft go? Where did these three bodies go? It makes you wonder if, was there an Area 51 before everyone even knew about it? Or was there another place of storage? Because if the Reverend is correct, if this really happened, well, they sure as hell had to go somewhere.
Well, there's 50 before it, so.
That's what I was going to say. Ashley and I are on the same wavelength.
Kelsey, I'm sorry. 50.
No, I love it. I've missed you so much. Miss
you. You're going to say there were what before it?
There's 50 before it.
Yeah.
Areas 1 through 50. I mean, they got to have stuff in there. It can't just be packing peanuts.
But if you want to learn more about, if you want to learn more about this, definitely Google the Cape Girardeau 1941 UFO incident. Also, so Ashley, this is a little more lighthearted. Wellington Paranormal, tell us about it because I had never heard of this. I know it's a Out of the Shadows spinoff. I probably said that incorrectly. So yeah, what's going on with it?
You did say it incorrectly, but you know we
still love you.
Love you, but. So, What We Do in the Shadows is an amazing movie. Well, I'm sorry. It is an amazing documentary created by Jemaine Clement and Taika Waititi. And it follows a few vampires in the Wellington community of New Zealand. It's very beautifully well done. It documents what their lifestyle is like. And they're all flatmates, right? And so it's, what is it like to be a vampire and living in a flat with other vampires. So the documentary did so good that they finally came up with some spinoffs. Both of these spinoffs, of course, are not true. They're not documentaries, they're just TV shows. One of them was called What We Do in the Shadows, very similar to the movie itself. Very well done, came out in America about 2 years ago. The other is Wellington Paranormal, and that show follows the two cops that are in the movie. about 3 or 4-ish years ago, right, guys? Is that when it came
out? Yeah, I feel like it was so close to the movie release by comparison.
It was, and it's been unavailable in America, so much to the point that like every tweet that Jemaine Clement gets is just like, when's Wellington Paranormal coming to America?
People are trying to figure out how to,
No, it's true. Like, people are constantly talking to him about it. They're so excited for it. We have been waiting for, I think, since 2014, 2015 for this thing to come out. And it's finally available. And the whole show is a part of this universe about this documentary where these two officers investigate the paranormal. But they are very...
Are they fumbly? Are they ne'er-do-wells, if you will?
They just, everything goes straight over their head. They are taking everything at absolutely face value. So it's the great scene from the movie where, of course, the vampires have set their friend on fire by accident. And they come in and they're like, oh, the sprinklers, you got to make sure. Yeah, those look like they're out of date. You better get those checked out. Yeah, of course. Oh, it smells like there's been a barbecue in there. There's a corpse on the floor. Oh, your friend. Yeah, well. Make sure no one's driving. Oh, no, we took his keys. Okay, that's for the best. We'll get him some water. Maybe get him a pillow. There's just a corpse. So just absolutely the most clueless of clueless individuals dropped into this highly paranormal, dangerous world. And you're just like, cinnamon roll's going to die.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So in other words, there's been a couple of seasons over there, and so are they just bringing those seasons over here? They're not like gonna do like The Office where they're gonna do an American version, I hope.
No, it's been going on for a while. They're still doing the show. It's amazing. But they're finally releasing it to America for the first time, which has never happened before. It was a New Zealand exclusive for a very long time, and obviously, a lot of American fans were super butthurt about it because that's who we are. We're American butthurt people. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's finally being released, and a lot of people are very excited for this.
Okay, question. So for anyone listening, or like me, who has never seen any of it, would you say start with the documentary and then move on to What We Do in the Shadows, the series?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, and it's well worth my time, I assume.
Yes.
Absolutely.
No, it's comedic genius. Like, just, it's insanely good.
I've heard.
Brilliant. And it gets funnier every time you watch it because you'll find something else again and go, this is just so clever.
Quasto, just so you know, Colin, my kitten, is named after a character in What We Do in the Shadows.
Yes, I remember you saying that a few times. Okay. And how many seasons of it has there been?
They're on two.
Of What We Do in the Shadows?
Of the TV show, yes. So there was the movie, a cult classic.
Okay.
The TV show, two seasons. And then there's Wellington Paranormal, which is, I think it's on its third or fourth season?
I was going to say four, but I could be totally wrong. It's it's literally, you'll find YouTube videos of just the trailer and whatever clips people can find on YouTube with just thousands upon tens of thousands of views and everyone going, just that little crumb, anything I can get.
All right. Well, then I'm not that far behind. I need to get this documentary, which is called What We Do in the Shadows.
What We Do in the Shadows.
Okay. Then the TV show, and then perfect. Well, there you go. That's the Supernatural scoop for this week. But let's get into Van Helsing.
Van Helsing.
So you have a couple paranormal experiences in your life, correct?
Yes. Okay. I have a couple paranormal experiences. Ashley is responsible for my freakiest one personally, which I know that's like, was a drop in the bucket to her, but that was one of the weirdest nights of my life. And I have an experience where I was mistaken for a ghost. So where would you like me to start? That one's a short story, but very good payoff. I promise.
I want that one now.
All right, let's start with the goofy one first. So 2019, we go to the Queen Mary for my friend's birthday. And of course, she was like, it's the Queen Mary. Let's get all vintage. And right now, I don't look vintage, but I own a very large collection of vintage clothing. And usually I'll be full period. Just I enjoy it. So for her birthday, I was like, I'm going full 1940s. I do the hair. I do the makeup. I have a whole outfit on. I get to the Queen Mary. I'm going up to our hotel room. I step off the elevator and there happens to be the Queen Mary ghost sighting, you know, the ghost experience tour. I step off the elevator. Tour guide looks over, freezes. The entire group looks over and freezes. I'm just standing there like, what happened? And then the guide lets out the biggest sigh of his life and goes, oh my God, that's a real person. And I realized that the whole group thought I was a ghost just stepping off the elevator. Welcome to the 1940s, sir. Would you like to see the speakerphone over here? I'm sure my leopard print overnight bag and purple suitcase were a dead giveaway, but I was like, thank you. But I regret to this day not just being like, what do you mean I'm a real person? And just like trying to figure out where I can like spookily disappear and just stand for 20 minutes while they leave.
Oh,
I love it. I love it.
I gave that man a heart attack, I'm pretty sure. The horror in his eyes.
Oh, absolutely. That, yep.
If you could have just stayed silent and then just finally said, hey, who wants to follow me to the aft deck? Let's go.
I wish I could have pulled out whoever is president. Did you hear about this Eisenhower fellow? What a clown, or something. Just scream into the distance and walk away.
Well, y'all are dressed modern.
You just got to plan better.
Next time, I am going to scare the hell out of some people on that boat.
What are those devices in your hands?
I like that that's your 1940s voice, Johnny.
Everything just goes to mid-Atlantic.
Yeah, there is nothing else. You know, I'm into it. I like it.
I have to say, that is one of my favorite things about you, Kelsey, is you... I don't know how you do it, but you are very quick to wit when it comes to situations, which is why I call you dad. You're very good at the dad humor, dad jokes. I wish you happy Father's Day every year, which I would like to know. That's
everyone, every year that text makes my goddamn day. I'm just waiting. I was like, it's going to happen.
My daughter's going to text me.
I'm so excited.
But you're so quick to wit about things like that. And I think it's absolutely hilarious. I've met a lot of funny people in my life. Obviously, I'm unfortunately in a show with two comedians. Oh. Unfortunately for me, because I'm not funny. But you somehow find a way to like just really quickly hit that note. And it is just unbelievable.
I appreciate that so much. My brain is just on shuffle 24/7. It gets a lot to live with after a while.
Imagine you on coke. Fuck.
Oh my God. I like want to imagine it, but also I would be so annoying.
And she was amazing in my short film, playing that very
the
special
white
character.
Feminist. The white feminist to end all white feminists.
Yeah.
I used that clip. I don't know if I've ever told you this story. I used that clip at Comic-Con. I do. My friend runs a panel at Comic-Con called Comic-Con Film School that every day, day one, he brings people who are directors, day two, producers, editors, and I usually talk on after day. Yeah, it's so fun. Been doing it for years, but it's been great. I've been doing it for a couple of years, but last Comic-Con, obviously, we've been missing that in our lives. I used that clip and I had a friend next to me that I used part of that clip of the, well, what are you? And the, I don't even want to repeat it here. But my friend standing next to me was just like, full cringe breakdown. I was like, we've all worked with her though. We all know this person.
That's the first time we met, you being racist.
I know, it was such a magical day.
I mean, it sounds like such a bad compliment, but you stepped up into that role so well. But you're nothing like that at all. I will say that.
When you sent me that script, I was like, I know this person. I have worked with this person. Oh yeah, you're like, I've got to remember you said me exactly. I was like, I know who she is. I know this person.
Well, now I have to see this damn short film. Come on.
We'll mail it to you.
Please do. Yeah. Send me a VHS. All right.
It's coming.
So speaking of Comic-Con, they made an announcement a couple of days ago, right? For San Diego?
Yeah, they did. I'm not sure how that's going to stick because people are very upset. So
I think I missed something. What was the latest update? I think I missed something.
San Diego Comic-Con is going to have a in-person con on Thanksgiving weekend.
I missed that. Oh.
Yeah.
And is it still going to be at the massive convention center like it always is?
Mm-hmm.
Are they planning on full attendance? I guess it's too early to tell.
No, not yet attendance. They have a limited capacity. Yeah. But a lot of fans, guests, attendants, celebrities, whatever, people that like Comic-Con are not quite thrilled because obviously we've been in a pandemic. this might be the first time that a lot of us get to see our families. And so people are a little bit upset because Thanksgiving, while it is incredibly racist in nature, now in America is very like, okay, we get to see our family for the first time in a while. And people are pretty upset. Like it's frustrating because they literally admitted that they're doing it because they need the money. And in their public statement, they said, we lost a lot of revenue. We need to make that revenue back. And so we're doing this event. So they're literally money grabbing on a holiday for family.
Okay. Why couldn't they do any other? I'm surprised they can't just do any other weekend. Did they think people would be excited? Because, oh, it's a holiday weekend. So generally everyone has a Thursday, Friday off.
I don't know. I can't be in their head, but what I would think is that they're trying to do it as late in the year as possible.
And that also would make sense.
And also,
Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just saying, like, so that the pandemic maybe has some time to subside a little bit. I don't know. That would just be my, and it's a holiday weekend, so people are planning to do something, I guess. I understand both sides pretty, you know, like.
Yeah.
As somebody that has worked for several conventions at this point, I would have been really mad initially, being like, what? Why would Comic-Con do this? But I also know that the convention centers themselves, they only let you book certain weekends. And so there is a pretty decent chance that the San Diego Convention Center was just like, sure. Oh, this is the weekend that we have available. Sure. So it's back and forth. Like, I want to be mad at Comic-Con because I don't think that this is cool. But also, I've felt that way about WonderCon, Comic-Con, LA Comic-Con, because they've all been in this situation. But what I've learned with working with these people is they don't always get that choice. So I don't know the behind the scenes part of this, but I have known from experience that this might not have been the choice that they actually wanted.
Yeah.
Sure. I mean, call me financially ignorant. I have a hard time. How is Comic-Con in that desperate need of money, considering the money they bring in every single year?
Well, you got to think about it. So, like, artists that come in, right? So, say Pedro Pascal.
Your boy, yes.
My boy. But if he, so say he gets $40,000 per event.
Holy shit.
Right? Okay. So, that's a going rate for very famous actors is per event. Sure. Much. If he's getting $40,000 per event, think about how many tickets, how many hotels, how many everything that's going to cost. What they're doing now, and again, I get it. Like, I'm not saying there's anything right with it, but if those artists are charging that amount, Comic-Con has to make up for it. It's kind of like with movies. Movies don't make money off the movies. They make money off of popcorn, soda, like all of the extra stuff you get at a theater, right? And as awful and terrible as it is, that's just what the industry is right now. And I feel like, unfortunately for Comic-Con, like they dived too deep into that. And now they're stuck with, like, we have to pay big bucks for celebrities or we're not going to get attendance.
Okay. That does make sense. Well, we have plenty of time to figure it out. We got almost 8 months now. But now, Kelsey, let's get to the Ashley Trobe paranormal experience.
Oh, a magical night this was. I get a text from Ashley that she I'm trying to remember exactly what the words were, but if I was interested in some spooky things, she posted on Facebook who was interested in doing some spooky things. And I, in my mind, when you posted that, thought maybe you got a permit to a really cool property and were like, oh, I want to take some friends who maybe who have never been on a ghost hunt or have never gone on an investigation. Like when I commented on, I thought that was going on. And so I get a text from her like, okay, cool. Send me a headshot and a resume. And I was like, what is going on here? And then I get a call from someone that it turned out it was going to be a show that was being pitched. So part of what they were looking for when we were putting this package together was if we had video files of our group investigating together. And at that time I had done some kind of gone on tours and things, but I certainly didn't have anything on video. So we were trying to figure out, okay, well, how can we film something together? How can we put this together? And we were trying to find some locations that would have been not needing a permit around Los Angeles. And I kind of, before this, I'd had some weird things happen in my apartment. Doors that were, I thought previously locked, were found locked, lights on that I didn't remember leaving lights on, objects just kind of moved. And I just thought, it's probably me. I was scatterbrained. I wasn't thinking. And then I had a gentleman I was dating at the time, now my boyfriend, came over. And he all of a sudden was just, he was hanging out with me and had this overwhelming sense that someone was in the room with us. And he's had some weird experiences over the years. And I've never seen him go into a panic like this. And so he said there was something in the room, and eventually it left, and he left for the night. And I was just sitting in bed that night like, what is going on? And I wound up talking to another friend of mine a couple days later who's had similar experiences, just kind of offhand remark, like, hey, is there anything that like weird about my apartment? She goes, oh yeah, you mean that thing that hangs out in the hallway? Which is a horrifying statement to begin with. So cut to several months later. So I was just like, okay, maybe there's a thing in my apartment, maybe not, who knows? We're trying to find a place to film, and I kind of offhanded remark, I was like, well, supposedly my apartment's haunted. We could go ghost hunt my apartment if we just need a filming location. So we come, we start to set up. It's Ashley comes over, our friend Chris Villain, who I think has been on here a couple times. And we set up, we're setting up video, filming, you know, here's how these different devices work. Here's how the technology works. We find all these weird electrical pockets all through my building. I think my complex was built in the maybe late 70s, maybe early 80s, and has been retrofit 100 million times. And it's just, The pipes do weird things. The electrical does weird things. There's always a leak somewhere. So,
and who knows who lived there over the years? It's Los Angeles, so the stories could be endless. Yeah,
totally. There's a million adorable little old bungalow houses on this street. Who knows what property was here before? Because it definitely wasn't just apartment complexes. Like I'm in the part of town I'm in has been residential for over probably 80 plus years, if not 100. So we just kind of, went into it like, oh, okay, we've debunked whatever was going on. There's just some weird electrical in this building. I'm scatterbrained and probably forgot I left the lights on. Like we felt pretty confident we had solved whatever was going on. So Ashley, maybe you want to talk more about the technology. You had flashlights. That was kind of a very quick and simple analog way to test if there was anything weird going on, if you want to speak more to that.
Yeah, I mean, we brought in some very basic stuff. We wanted to be as natural as possible. Obviously,
we were mostly filming like all of us interacting. What's the energy of us as friends doing something together?
Exactly. So it was you, me, Chris Villain, and we tried very basic stuff. We had a very basic camera. We had flashlights, which is one of my favorite techniques. It's very simple. But I really enjoy it because I have found that you get some pretty crazy results if you're very adamant about doing it. Mm-hmm. And so we set up these flashlights in Kelsey's apartment. We set up three. We had one on the left for yes, one in the middle for maybe. And then
We just had the two because one was malfunctioning. So we just had a yes and a no.
Oh.
So, yeah, it's all good.
But we were trying to tell jokes. We thought like, okay, how do we get this thing to respond to us? And so for a while we were just saying random things. We really,
We were kind of probing questions. And I remembered that one of the friends who told me about the one who specifically said, there's a thing in the hallway, would say the thing likes to follow you in, likes to kind of sneak in. So we had the idea, well, what happens if we just prop the front door open? So being the Halloween bitch I am, I grabbed, I think, a styrofoam tombstone that was left out from Halloween, and I just propped the front door open a couple inches. And we probably asked questions for about 5 minutes before that, had absolutely nothing happen. Prop open the front door with the tombstone, asked questions, and within a couple minutes, the flashlights were turning on and off in conversation speed to our questions.
So the thought is that this being or whatever it may, what came in from outside.
Yes, we think it probably hangs out in the hallway. There's one super electrically charged place that my friend, she specifically, the point where we found the big electrical malfunction in my hallway, or it set off the EMF reader off the charts. We thought maybe it's sitting there kind of having a brunch on it. It's whatever this is. Maybe this is how it's getting energy in the building. So we thought that must be where it hangs out. And she said she'd kind of, again, these are all in hindsight. I was like, oh yeah. She said it kind of walked over with us from there. It would hang out there and just kind of latch on and follow into the apartment. So we thought it must have just kind of snuck in then, but it, and it kept about, I think, 5 to 10 feet of distance from us to the flashlight. So they were up against the wall and we were closer to where my couch is. Not that anyone here has, other than Ashley, has any idea what the layout of my apartment looks like.
I think my favorite thing about that, though, was once we finally started getting like real tangible responses where it was like, okay, it hears us, is when we started telling the worst jokes that we knew, which, again, like that's
Kelsey, where we live, man.
Bad jokes. And so once we started telling these terrible jokes, we started getting legitimate, immediate responses, which is hilarious to me.
Best part on the video, because we told a bunch of jokes and we got no response at one point, and Ashley's like, you didn't even want to hear a joke, you just wanted us to see, you wanted to see us make fools of ourselves. And immediately the light came on, we're like, you little,
you son of a
why Ayana.
But it was taunting us, which is mm-hmm. like it's one of those things where the paranormal is a very strange world in general. But once you start getting, it's hard because you can't say evidence versus personal experience, right?
Sure.
We had a really cool personal experience. Evidence, who's to say?
But go ahead.
No, it's just once you start having things like that happen, like it's hard to turn that away and be like, this wasn't just personal experience. Like this is tangible. This is something that we all experience. Together.
Mm-hmm.
Besides the flashlights, was there anything else that you noticed throughout the night?
I mean, I slept terribly that night. I was just in bed like, oh God, there's something in the room. Oh God, there's something in the room. I had woken up. I do suffer from sleep paralysis. So I do wake up in the middle of the night sometimes and I will not know if I'm really seeing something at the foot of my bed or I'm just coming out of a REM dream and I don't know if something's there. But I have experienced it at this apartment 100 times more than I have any time in my life. Before I would experience this like once every 6 months, this was like 3 times a week I would wake up and go, I think there's something there.
Oh.
And I never would interact. I just definitely would roll over and be like, that is not my problem. I'm going back to sleep and it will just go away. Or it will smack me and we'll find out what happens next. That night specifically, but I also don't, go ahead. What?
I just said that's me and men.
I mean,
but this has never been enough to make you want to move, though, I guess.
Well, it's so interesting because that night was a rough night of sleep. And we ended the experience. Ashley just told it, you know, you can't stay here. You don't have to go somewhere like other side else, but you can't stay in the apartment. And it has not come back since then.
Well, damn.
Yeah. And my two friends that have seen things, have experienced, one feels things, one sees things, never really saw it again. So it's, the week after I was paranoid as all get out. And that night I was definitely terrified because I 100% went into this evening expecting it to be just us, you know, we're going to get this footage. We're going to record for a couple hours. We're just going to get some stuff to send off and be like, hey, this is us having fun. This is what it would look like. We have here's our understanding of, or here's us talking about how the technology works. So the fact that anything happened, I just remember so distinctly on the video, the first time the flashlight turned on, you just hear Ashley in the background go, oh, and it kills me in retrospect. Just to hear her like, well, this is not expected in any way, shape or form tonight.
And then Ashley helped to exercise it. That is,
she really did.
Such a happy ending. To quote Ray mm-hmm. Parker Jr., Bustin makes Ashley feel good. Come on.
I think busting makes everybody feel good, really.
Well, that's a fair point.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about what you've been doing during the pandemic. So your Instagram account is entertaining, to say the least. It's funny you know Chris Villain. When I was looking at your IG account, I'm like, her and Chris Villain have very, very similar IG accounts in the fact that they're so creative and colorful and fun and lively.
And random.
Sure.
I, you know, it's been just a year of how do we fill time kind of. And I, as I mentioned before, I'm a vintage collector and I'm a clothing collector and I have a severe love for fashion history and I'm very much self-taught historian in that sense. But I love decades of fashion, different periods of fashion. It's not specifically one. The more I started to learn about fashion, the more I'm like, oh, but I love this part of the 80s and this thing in the 70s. Oh, and this thing they did in the 20s. So I took kind of my crazy extensive wardrobe because I'm also a thrifter. So if I just find something, like I was I was like, how do you own this much clothing? I'm like, people need to know I'm finding stuff in a Goodwill for like $10. So this is like, how I just accumulate things.
Like your purse, your Mickey Mouse purse that you keep painting in epic ways.
Yeah, I love those things. Those have been in antique markets for dirt cheap. And I'm very specific. If I only alter things if they are just like beyond repair. And that was both of those. Someone had tried to like repaint those with crayons and they look terrifying. And I was like, the best thing I can do is give them a facelift. So I've just been taking kind of, it's been always my hobby when I shop specifically to look at things of like, oh, this is what Sleeping Beauty would look like if she went to the prom in the 80s. Mm-hmm. And so I've just been, I started as like, I was just pulling characters and decades of a character from pop culture. Specifically, I started Disney and then some kind of either decade or trend of fashion and just how can I mash these two together. And since then, I've kind of gone through my wardrobe and gone, I really wanted to always do this look and I'll probably never have an excuse to put together, you know, Jessica Rabbit, the 60s mod go-go dancer, but I can put it together for this thing and this will be fun and satiate that kind of need to put these two concepts together.
Brilliant.
Yeah, epic.
Thank
you. So fun.
Thank you.
Van Kelsing fashion icon.
Yes, indeed.
And meme lord extraordinaire. That's mostly what my stories is. My stories are just all the memes I find online.
I love it. Well, where can people find you if they want to see all this good stuff?
They can find me mostly on Instagram. The handle again is at Van Kelsing. There's an underscore between the Van and the Kelsing. That's the social media I update the most. Every now and then I'll put a really dumb dad joke on Twitter, though. Handles are the same on every single platform.
Outstanding. Well, this was a lot of fun. Thank you so much for joining us, telling us that story. I mean, any story about an actual investigation, especially with Ashley being involved, that's a winner right there. So thanks for sharing that.
Magical night. I was happy to be here and I was happy Ashley called me that night and was like, what are you doing tomorrow?
I mean, at some point we all need to do one together. I will gladly fly out for it. We just need to find a location that won't kick us out. That's pretty much all we have to do.
We can just go from location to location. It's like ghost crawl.
Yeah.
Let them kick us out. Let them.
It's a ghost pub crawl.
Right. Just go to all the haunted bars.
All the haunted bars.
And then we stay overnight at the Cecil. Anyone?
Yes.
Yeah.
No. When does that open again?
Well, it's not going to be called the Cecil anymore, though.
No. They're catfishing us.
They are. Part of it's already called Stay on Main. I don't know what the other part of it's
going to
be.
They just sold it again. Yeah.
Oh.
Again?
Oh. Yeah, and it's going to be
totally closed. Oh, interesting.
Yeah, they sold it and they're going to like rebuild it and it's going to be like, it's going to be all new, I think. I don't know that they're tearing it down.
Let's go to Glen Tavern. Make it easy.
Yeah, I'm down.
Santa Paula. We're right outside of LA. We can drive to LA really easy. Mm-hmm. We can eat a lot of bomb Mexican food. I'm just saying. Yeah.
Next time I come out, I'm giving y'all a heads up and we'll make it happen. We'll bring Villain along and it's going to be a good time.
Mm-hmm. Amazing.
Well, Anastasia, where can people find you?
Oh, well, you can find me at Anastasia W on TikTok and Twitter, at Anastasia Watch on Instagram, and Anastasia TV on Instagram, and in the Feminine Macabre from Spooky Eats. You can see a ghost like me in Not So Ghostly White Tail is the one I wrote. Check it out.
Okay.
Trobe.
You can find me at Ashley Trobe on everything. My last name is adopted and apparently made up. So, which I learned today. I did a Facebook post where it talks about like, what is your title as your name, right? So Ashley is Ash Tree Meadow, right? See, take all that, whatever. My adopted last name, which is Trobe, apparently isn't a real word. So, yeah. So Ashley Trobe shouldn't be hard to find. Because
my mom's maiden name is made up, too.
Is it?
Bogue. Yeah. It was the only thing that the her great-grandfather could say after they found him during the Franco-German War.
Uh-huh.
That actually makes sense. Well, hell, while we're talking about it, my last name is Laquasto, but it got changed at Ellis Island. Initially, someone in my family traced all the way back to our original ancestor. They found the guy in Italy, and the original spelling was Laquasto, which is two words. Laquasto means the broken. So the only thought is that he had some kind of physical disability, and that's how he got his name.
Oh, how sweet.
My biological name means the Baron. So I feel you, bud.
Yeah, it's crazy. We don't know. We'll never know what his disability is. But he had seven kids, so something worked. But
something did indeed work. Yeah, that was not broken.
No, apparently not. It worked enough. Worked too damn much.
Or somebody was cheating. Just kidding, milkman. Hey,
whatever. I'm here. Who gives a shit? Anyways, we're at Haunts and Hops on all platforms. I'm at Jay Quasto. And so I have a bigger project being released this year, but I have a 5-track EP. It's 17 minutes of material. It's basically jokes that are not going to be part of this upcoming project. I've never done anything with, and I've partnered with All Things Comedy and 800 Pound Gorilla Records. It dropped on Pandora exclusively this past Friday, but this Friday it'll be available on all platforms. It's called the In 3D EP. The album cover is paying homage to Weird Al Yankovic's album In 3D, which is the first album I ever listened to as a kid. And so I thought it was like a cool thing to do. And so, yeah, 17 minutes, got some jokes. Just look me up and you can find it. And other than that,
never heard of them.
Yeah, that's right. Other than that, thank you for joining us. And of course, please go watch the WonderCon episode because you will enjoy it. Just look up WonderCon, look up Paranormal. You're going to find us. And with that said, it's time to say goodbye.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Okay, bye.
Okay, bye. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed it, tell a couple of friends and please rate and review the show on whatever platform you're listening on, especially if it's iTunes and Apple Podcasts. We appreciate you.